Hello, everybody. Welcome back to That's Life Podcast. I'm your host, Abby Luckett, and life has a lot of highs, a lot of lows, and many in-betweens, but the thing that remains consistent is our God. So let's see what we talk about today.
The holidays can be a great time for people, and they can also be an extremely difficult time for people. I've grown up having both experiences, both very, very good, very, very bad, and somewhere in the middle throughout my 23 years of living in this life. From the ages of about 0 to 5, I don't remember much about the holidays, I'm not gonna lie, because my brain was like the size of a peanut, I'm pretty sure. However, once I was in kindergarten, about 6 years old, I have vivid memories from the holidays, specifically Christmas, which is what I'm gonna be focusing on today because that's the next holiday, that's right around the corner, but then also what follows that is New Year's as well, but we're going to focus more so on Christmas because New Year's is going to be its own separate podcast. I love a good New Year's resolution. I love a good New Year's goal. Don't get it twisted. We will be talking about that at some point. However, Christmas is a very magical time of year. It's a very festive time of year, but there's also a lot that comes with it. And throughout my different ages of living, it's brought about different hardships and struggles that aren't necessarily, I feel like, talked about more in the media today. I don't know. Maybe it's just because that's not what my algorithm is on. My algorithm is currently on musical theater show tunes, New York apartment rentals, and running. Lots and lots of running. So yeah. Anyways, today we are going to be talking about practical tips and tools to get through the holiday hardships, if you will, the Christmas scaries. And I don't even like saying Christmas scaries, so maybe I should like retract that statement. But because Christmas is such a joyous time, it is, I mean, the reason for the season, the reason that we celebrate is because Jesus Christ has been born into the world. Like, this is the time we celebrate when God is sending his son, the Messiah, literally like his ultimate plan is happening. And there's so much weight to this holiday that it's easy to kind of forget about it and get caught up in it because sometimes it's just easier to overlook how like actually serious this is. And I think Easter kind of maybe is a bit more heavy as for a holiday because, I mean, again, we're not really celebrating the death of Jesus. We're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus on Easter. But in order to have the resurrection, you have to have the death. So it's like a whole thing. But we're really just celebrating and happy that Jesus is coming into this earth, but there's so much realness to this story. Like, literally right when Jesus was born, Herod wanted to come murder this baby. And so when he found out that Jesus had got away and he didn't know where Jesus was, he sent out like a decree that every child 2 and under that resembled Jesus would die. I mean, like, this is a very serious story and real people. And like, whether you believe in Jesus or not, whether you believe that this is the birth of the Messiah or not, I'm here to tell you that it is, but whether you believe it or not, it did happen. Like, this literally did happen. And so even if you don't believe in Jesus, I encourage you to pick up a Bible, or you can literally look up the story from the Bible. Like, I would read the actual scripture. I wouldn't look up a synopsis or a spark notes of the story, because really seeing how beautiful but also like sad this story is really does, it puts things into perspective. And as a believer, it's so humbling to read this because I sit here in the comfort of my own house by my cutie little tree, and I have these cutie little wrapped presents, and we play white elephant and we bake cookies, and that's how we celebrate, which is great and fun. But like, Mary and Joseph were literally in a barn, and their child, they gave birth to their child and put him in a feeding trough, like in the middle of nowhere with no one, with donkeys and pigs. Like, this is a very kind of sad story. Like, I mean, in my opinion, it's okay. I don't want to say it's a sad story because it's an amazing, beautiful story that is real. But Mary, I mean, if I were in Mary's position, I can only imagine, you know, she does know that she has this divine calling over her life. I mean, she literally is a virgin and gave birth and like knew she was giving birth to the Messiah, the savior of the world. However, the human in me would be like, if I was in her position, I would feel a little sad that I'm giving birth while I'm like fleeing and hiding, like while I'm not in the comfort of where I want to be. Like, there's no room for me there. They tried to go to an inn and there was no room for them there. And so, I mean, with pregnancy hormones and everything, like, we have to take all this into account. She's in pain and her water's going to break and she's doing this all on her own. And I mean, not on her own. Joseph's there too. But I mean, I don't know. I just, I can't. imagine how much agony and pain she went through to give birth to this child. But then it all is so worth it because she sees this beautiful baby boy in her hands. And so, yeah, there's just a lot there. It's a lot more than Jesus was born and look how pretty this nativity scene is. And now time for cotton candy and hot chocolate. I mean, not cotton candy, candy canes and hot chocolate. Not to take away from the fact that those things aren't fun. Like, I participate in all that stuff. We have our stockings hung up. I make cookies. I wrote letters to Santa when I grew up, like all the things. And it's so fun, but that doesn't supplement or take precedent over the true meaning. So anyways, I went off on a little tangent there, but I say that to say, like, this holiday, you know, I'm going to be talking about more personal things around the holidays, but I don't for a second want us to lose sight of the true reason of why we're celebrating this. And so what kind of got me thinking about this topic today was I've had a lot of Christmases where I really struggled either leaving home and getting out of my routine or coming back from school and being in a house again with my family where I wasn't the person in charge of what I did. And I was like living under my parents' roof again, meaning like I went to college and then I came back and it was just kind of weird and hard. You know, it's like mom and dad tell you what to do again. And I don't know, it's just weird. And then in high school, every Christmas was different, but I never really loved going on Christmas break just because I was out of my routine and just around, you know, a bunch of family, which was great. But when you're in high school, all you want to do is hang out with your friends. And so I was just like, oh, this stinks and blah, blah, blah. You know, I just didn't appreciate it for what it was. And yeah, it was just weird. I just had some weird high school years around the holidays. And it got me thinking what practical tools that I could use and give to someone else from the experiences that I've learned. So that's what I'm going to be talking about. But my number one rule is at the end of the day, remind yourself the real reason why we're celebrating this, and it puts everything else into perspective. Like, it makes you seem so small knowing like, okay, no matter what my problems are, like I'm, you know, my complaints are valid but small. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And Christ gives me strength every day because of him sending his son to get on a personal level with us and showing us what God's love looks like in a way that we can understand it. And like this is celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So that's my number one tip. When things seem overwhelming and hard, just remember that truth. Remind yourself of that truth, and that will give you ultimate peace. I mean, I cannot tell you one time that I have brought myself to the Lord, whether I'm struggling or whatever, and I haven't felt peace. And that could have been with other feelings as well, good and bad, but there's peace there. Like when I talk to Jesus, there's peace there, you know? So anyways, do with that what you will. Before I get into the nitty gritty, I'm sipping on a Bloom Pop. This is Winter Palm Berry. As you can see, there's a cutie little, I guess that's a palm berry. I don't really know what a palm berry is. Pomegranate berry, maybe? And he's skiing on the slopes. That's fun. I'm going to take a swig now. I'm going to take a little sip. Ah, delightful and refreshing, fizzy and fun. Okay. My history with Christmas. I remember one specific Christmas. I was 16 years old. I've said this in many podcasts. I am extremely blessed. So I don't know where you're coming from in your family life, in your home life. I realize that I have an extremely incredible home life. I am so grateful for my parents, my family. I am very fortunate and I am not blind to that. So wherever you're coming from for this holiday season, just know my heart is with you. And although we don't all have the same story, we all serve a God who has lived that story that is the same for all of us. And with that, I'm not going to go too deep into like my past. What I will say though with past holidays is throughout my years of living, I've had some really great holidays and some really hard holidays. My younger, like teenage years, those were really hard. I was a very moody teenager. I'm a very emotional adult and person now, and I'm sure that will only grow as I get older, but I do know how to navigate those things. When I was younger and like experiencing those things for the first time, going through puberty, like all that kind of stuff, I had no idea how to deal with my emotions. And that really, really emphasized on the holidays. And I think it's just because like my family, we would always go to either my mom's side or my dad's side growing up. I mean, we still do, but now that Ryan and I are married, there's more families in the mix. And so we, you know, take turns and that kind of thing. But you're around so much more people who are like blood related to you. And it just emphasizes way more. I don't know how to describe it other than that. Like, you just realize a lot more about yourself. And it's probably just because you're around the closest people, whether you like get along with them or not, they are literally the closest people physically. Like, you guys are related by blood, by genes, you guys are related. And so, I don't know, I think it just opinions and things hit more, you know, you don't always see these people all the time like you would a friend. Like, I don't live near a bunch of my family, which is why we travel a lot on Christmases. And so when we would see people, you know, nobody was ever rude or mean, but it was just, I had this expectation for myself that I like always had to be the best. And maybe that's you too. And maybe it's not, but you know, fill in the blank for what it is, this expectation of yourself or this way you want to present yourself or, you know, dealing with opinions, whatever. For me, my story is I had this really high expectation for myself. And so when I didn't feel like I met that bar, and then I had to go tell people what I was, you know, what I'd been up to or what, how school was going or this, that, and the other, and I wasn't either perfect or didn't accomplish or the things that I wanted to accomplish, or I wasn't the best at something and blah, 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 I just felt like a failure. And that's not of the Lord. I mean, that's just not right to think about, but I did. And I couldn't retreat and go back to my room. You know, I'm out of my comfort zone. I'm in another place and I can't go talk about it with someone alone because you're around a big family and blah, 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 blah. I feel you. If you have those same struggles, I feel you, because those were some of mine. I just didn't know how to navigate my feelings. And then I'm a talker. And when I can't go talk because I'm around other people, you know, it just spirals. And so those thoughts go around and around in your head, and then you just take them in, and then it's hard to verbalize them after because all you've been doing is internalizing and you're around people all the time. So if you're an introvert, that can also be a struggle. There are a lot of introverts on one side of my family, and it's so funny because like we go to one side of the family and it's just talking and talking and talking. We go to another side of the family and it's like, okay, we've all had a meal, now let's all sleep. And that's just the beauty of family. Everyone can kind of just do what they want, be what they want, and you're stuck with each other. But for introverts, if you're around, you know, a lot of extroverted activities, I can see how that can also be like really exhausting. I mean, there are so many dynamics that can either make you tired or make you upset or make you internalize or, you know, whatever. Maybe, you know, you're the person who people are always like, so do you have a boyfriend yet? Do you have a girlfriend yet? Like, do you have a job yet? And it's just like, okay, thank you for reminding me that I don't have these things. It's just, it's hard and also wonderful. I absolutely love being around my family and it's great, but those feelings can coexist. And especially in my younger years, that feeling of just like self-deprecating coexisted with the joy of being around my family. And as I grew up, I grew out of that and really came into my own and found my confidence and found my voice, but it took a while. And so I've developed some things that kind of snap me back into reality because I'm someone who takes those thoughts and I internalize them a lot. So I'm going to pull out my handy dandy list for you all, and maybe this can help you as well. The first thing that I'll say, just going ahead and talking on that topic of internalizing, is that internalizing would cause me to disassociate. And so I would be around a crowd of people or a room of people. I mean, I have a very big family. And so that feeling of being around so many people, but then you feel like you're the only person in the world is real and kind of crazy. Like you feel so alone, yet you're surrounded by a bunch of people. That is a very hard concept to swallow and understand. But the thing that I would say is when you disassociate, pray. It'll snap you back into reality. It will make you feel less alone and remind you like, no, I always do have someone. Like I have someone that's listening to me, that's listening for me, that wants me to talk to them constantly. Like when you get asked question after question that you don't want to be asked and you just start to go silent and just start praying about anything. And it doesn't have to be like, dear heavenly father of the blah, 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 fancy, fancy words. No, he just wants you to talk to him. There have been many times where I'm like, God, I literally can't do this anymore. Like this is actually going, this is just crazy. I need a nap. Like I am so tired. I don't want to know. Or, oh my gosh, like, God, this is just, I mean, he is your best friend. So talk to him like one. He wants to hear from you. And it doesn't have to be polished and it doesn't have to be pretty. Like you're already exhausted as it is around the holidays. Might as well just be exhausted with God. Now, I will say, as an extrovert, being around my family for the holidays makes me more excited. I love a group hang. Okay. So I absolutely love when my family all gets together. It like makes me beam. I'm like so excited. But for me, I tend to overthink. I tend to try to be a perfectionist. And then that gets in the way of me being able to just rest in the moment. You know, I'm like, oh my gosh, I want to do, and I want to be, and I want to talk to everyone. And I want to make sure that I'm going around to everyone and talking to everyone and doing all the things. And I've worked really hard to break that, but that's my resort. And so sometimes it comes back. That is another great time to pray of like, okay, God, I'm a lot right now. I'm spiraling. I'm kind of bouncing off the walls and not necessarily letting myself enjoy because I am working myself up to go into entertainer mode. Lord, just bring me your peace. Blah, 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 blah. Ask him for things that you need. That direct little minute blurb that I just gave you, that is like what I have had to do year after year after year after year to now, like, I can just go and enjoy and I'm good and I'm chill. But there was a time. Like, I remember, I don't even know if this family member listens to this podcast or what, but I remember one time my mom told me that one of my family members asked my mom, like, is she always this energetic? Does she always have this much energy? Like, is she not exhausted? Oh, I was exhausted. I just didn't turn off the entertainer mode until after the event was done. I was that girl. That was me. Glad that phase has passed. Took a lot of prayer. So if you are in that boat, whether you are disassociating, bouncing off the walls, somewhere in the middle, prayer is always is always the thing to go to. It should always be the first resort. Like, I don't like the saying, well, now all we can do is pray. The first thing you should do is pray. Don't wait till the very end to pray. Start with prayer. I'm getting myself worked up. I need to calm down. All right. Anyways, while we're on the topic of mentality, I only had two things for mentality. The other things are practical. See yourself outside of yourself. Now, let me explain. When I think about like the bigger picture, it helps me realize my situation better. And so if I'm ever upset or struggling and I'm in a group scenario or I don't want to be somewhere or I'm ready to go home or whatever, I'm just struggling, I just take a deep breath and I just try to get a bird's eye view of the situation and almost just like, okay, Abby, what is this picture right now? You're sitting here at the table. All you want to do is just look at your phone and zone out, but you've got two other people next to you. This is so much bigger than you. Just talk to them. Like, just take a breath and enjoy. Just let yourself enjoy. And then I kind of like snap back into it. I don't know. Like, there's just something about trying to get a bird's eye view of the situation and literally just being like, okay, what's going on right now? And where am I at? It just helps you kind of feel a bit more grounded. And it almost makes me like think about how God views us. Like, he has this, like, he's seeing all of us right now. And he's just looking down on us. And it's, I don't know, it kind of just makes me envision like how small I really am and how small my feelings or struggles are. Not that they aren't valid, okay? I don't want anybody to mistake that. Like, I am always a pro feel your feelings kind of person, but sometimes feelings can get overwhelming and you just want to stop. Like, you just want to let yourself enjoy. And sometimes our minds can be our biggest enemies because we're overthinking and overthinkers, or at least I am. And so sometimes that can almost make the holidays or group settings that much harder because I'm just overthinking every move that I make. And so when I do this little bird's eye, just take yourself out for a second, get the bigger picture mentality trick, it kind of serves as a reset and it puts things into perspective. Okay, now time for like these practical things. This is more so speaking on holiday break or this chunk of time around the holidays. If you're like fully a 9-to-5 worker or self-employed person, or you're working now, you're an adult and you're working, how I'm envisioning this like for myself and for the working folk of the world is like, just there's just this chunk of time that is the holidays, and that's different for everyone, but like it just is. Like, I don't know how to explain it. There's no exact this point to this point. There's just the holidays. And so for you, that's what I'm talking about. The chunk of time that you dedicate to being the holidays. The time where you let your text messages pile up because you're on the holidays, or the time where you're like, hey, let's make plans after the holidays. Like, this is that chunk of time that I'm talking about. For my college kids, this is holiday break. For my high school, middle school kids, this is Also, holiday break, Christmas break, Thanksgiving break, like these breaks, okay? I mean, Thanksgiving break's over, so really, Christmas break. Usually it's like 2 weeks, I think. For college kids, I think it's like a month? I don't even remember. It's been like 2 years. Anyways, so the first thing, start a realistic project. Realistic meaning for your time goal, you can start and finish it within this time goal. Maybe you're gonna knit a scarf. Maybe you're gonna start making things out of clay. That's what I do. Maybe you're gonna make a different latte every morning. Maybe you're going to do 3 puzzles, read 3 books. Maybe you're going to write a song. Maybe you're going to write a story. I don't know what it is. Those are all very artsy, creative things. Maybe you're going to make a chart for things that you need to make charts for. I don't know, but something fun and a project that you can work at every day that is going to keep you focused on something and help motivate you and also give you something to do. Something that I really struggled with a lot on breaks when I was younger was, and even sometimes now, I mean, like on breaks when you're off of work and stuff, like I like to have a task to do. As humans, we like to have something to do. Like whether you're a lazy, like whether you say that you're lazy. I don't want to say whether you're a lazy person. I mean, I'm a lazy person mostly for real. But whether you're someone who likes to like relax or not, or you're someone who's like, I could lay around all day, like I'm lazy. Like that could be me. I'm that. There's no denying that we like to have things to do. Like we like to have something to accomplish, something to work on. And so putting this into place that's fun, but also setting a timeline, also maybe somewhat of a challenge. Something that just gets you to use your energy towards something that you can accomplish can really help set the tone for your holiday break and for the holidays. It helps set some structure. It helps you not scroll. Like our resort is to scroll. And I feel like that only makes things worse mentally if you're already kind of struggling mentally on the holidays. Unless you have like curated your algorithm to only feed you good, you're probably going to get a mix of both. Okay. Now, I've really tried to get my algorithm to feed me things that inspire me and motivate me. But when I'm like doom scrolling, I mean, I see all sorts of stuff. And so it's just much easier and better, I feel, in my opinion, to work on a project. So that's the first thing. Find a project to do. Like use this extra time to do something you've always wanted to do. Next thing, have a challenge. Okay, so this can be, I'm gonna drink a cup of lemon water every morning. I'm going to give up Hershey's cookies and cream chocolate bars for these next 2 weeks. I'm going to walk 30 minutes a day, something that gets you a bit uncomfortable. So again, having a challenge, it just gets you outside of yourself, but a realistic project is more so something that may come easier to you, something you might, I don't want to say enjoy, because like you can enjoy like a challenge as well, but just something that's kind of brainless, something that you can just do whenever. A challenge is something that like gets you outside of yourself, gets you out of your box. So for me, it would definitely be something like physical. I just feel like that's where my brain goes. I've really been trying to work on my flexibility, trying to stretch more and that kind of stuff since I'm, you know, becoming a dancer again. I gotta get my splits back and all these things. So mine would be like stretch every night for 15 to 20 minutes. Yours can be go on a walk for, you know, 15 minutes or, you know, do yoga. I don't know, something like cool. Just something that's a challenge, something that you never tried before. Maybe it's, you know, create a skincare routine for the next 2 weeks. Just something that is a little bit more digestible because it's a shorter amount of time. And then maybe it's a habit that will actually carry into your everyday life from this break. And it just kind of puts, you know, whether you're excited about the holidays or not, I've had both versions of myself. I don't see any world where having some sort of challenge that can motivate you is a bad thing. Unless you take it too far. Okay. We don't want to idolize these challenges, okay? And we don't want them to make us unhealthy. So be mindful. The next thing, stay active. Listen, okay? I am all for the holiday season being a time to rest and to nest and to slow down. I am doing that. I am resting right now. I am slowing down right now. However, there is a direct impact on physical exercise and your mental health, your physical health, even your spiritual health, I'm sure. Like we as human beings want to be healthy. I mean, God created us to steward our bodies well, and that looks like staying active. And it's very easy to kind of become a hermit in the wintertime. We already are not getting sunlight as it is, or I guess vitamin D, as much vitamin D as we would in the summer. But I'm telling you, there is a different kind of appreciation for the winter when you get up and do something physical in the wintertime, whether that's indoor at a gym or outside on a walk. Taking the time out of your day to prioritize yourself and work on yourself and prioritize your physical health drastically can change the tone and the mood for your day. So I really recommend trying to get physical. Go sign up for some classes to hold yourself accountable. Find a friend, find a family member, do it at home. Literally look up a 20-minute video of an ab routine to do at home. Literally anything, even if it's just something that you may not feel like you're necessarily getting in your workout to the max physical burn that you can. It's a mental thing, like getting up and accomplishing it. That's why they say make your bed first thing every morning. Like, you're setting the tone for your day by making your bed because you're accomplishing something first thing in the morning. It's the same thing. Like, just make that a priority. And for people who, especially moms, like I can see how people could feel guilty for taking the time to go work out when you quote unquote should be with your family or should be with your kids. I have to force my mother to go work out because she's like, oh, I should be with the family and blah, blah, blah. I tell her, Mom, how are you going to be the best version of yourself if you don't take an hour to pour into yourself? If you don't take that hour to strengthen your body, which also strengthens your mind, how are you going to be around the people that you love most as the best version of yourself if you're constantly just pouring out? You have to fill your bucket too. And so maybe that's not a physical thing for you. I'm not sitting here being like, you have to work out. I would advise it. I do think that it is healthy. I do think there is a healthy amount to that. I also think there's an unhealthy amount to that where you can do it too much. Been there, done that. We out of the woods. We out of it, period. But again, if being physical in the winter is something that you struggle with, then a short for the holidays while I'm with my family this weekend, this week, whatever, take that time and make it a priority. Put the kids in a stroller and go on a walk with them. Anything, literally anything. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, anything. And if you can't, don't beat yourself up. Do not, please do not. The holidays are not a time to set PRs and not a time to, you know, hit new mile run goals or whatever. If you do that, great, but we are not here to beat ourselves up. We are here to celebrate. Next thing, start in the word daily. It is so easy to be like, oh, I'm on break, I'll do it later. And then you don't. And then it's like, oh, okay, I'll do it tomorrow. And then you don't. And the next thing you know, you sit down to finally, oh, I haven't read my Bible in 2 days and I'm finally going to do it right now. Ding dong. Unexpected visitor comes because it's the holidays and everyone's hanging out with everyone because no one's on schedule. And blah, blah, blah. Do it. Just do it first thing. I'm saying this to myself because I am falling victim to the travel, get off your routine bug. And so when I travel, I'm like, oh, I'm traveling. So I don't have to operate on my same routine as I do at home. I'll just read my Bible later. I'll read my Bible, you know, when I'm sitting in my bed for 30 minutes or whatever. And guess what? And then I don't do it. And then I don't do it. And then guess what? Then I get sad. You know why I get sad? Because I'm not spending time with Jesus. And that makes me sad. And then I don't realize why I'm sad because I'm like, oh, why do you feel down? Oh, it's probably because you haven't read your Bible. Go pick up your Bible. Well, I don't really want to. Okay, well, you need to go do it. I'll just do it tomorrow. And then I don't do it tomorrow. So just do it in the morning. Just make it a non-negotiable. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, just do it. I'm telling you, it's going to change everything for you. Everything. I suggest reading the gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Read Matthew and Luke if you want to get like the Christmas story, especially Luke. That would be something great to read around this time, you know, because it's like literally what we celebrate right now. So just do it. Just do it. Nike, not sponsored. Anyways, okay. Keep the morning time yours. This is something that has helped me so much, especially when I'm on vacation. When I'm on vacation, I sometimes struggle to enjoy it because I like a healthy routine. Now, hear me. I'm not saying that I don't enjoy it because I'm not like on my routine. Like, I like to get off my routine. I've come to a place in my life where I like to be spontaneous and switch things up, but I also love like perimeters to keep me structured. I like structure. And I feel like sometimes, you know, unless you're that type that just likes to go with the flow, run with the wind, if that works for you, great. But for me, and as for me in my house, we like a little bit of structure, okay? And around the holidays, it's a lot of, you know, we're gonna go do this and we're gonna have this as a family, or maybe it's just like yourself. Maybe you're not around your family, you're not with your family for Christmas, but I don't know, just around the holidays, things happen. There's events, there's just so much to do. There's so many things to do. Taking that time for yourself in the morning, first thing, everyone's kind of like doing their own thing anyways, sets you up for success for the rest of the day because you're just able to say yes. You're able to, you know, turn off your brain and be like, I've done everything that I need to do for the day. I'm just going to cruise for the rest of the day. It is the best feeling when you get everything done and it's like 12 o'clock and you're like, I have the rest of the day. People who work a 9-to-5, you cannot tell me. Okay, you can tell me, but I've heard more people say that they feel better when they work out before work in the morning than they do after work. Meaning like, yeah, you may be tired when you get home, but at least like you don't have to do your workout, as to where when you get home and then you have to work out, it's like, oh, I'm so tired. I don't want to go do this workout. You see what I'm saying? It's kind of the same thing. It's like, oh, well, I already did everything that I need. I worked out. I got my work done. I read my Bible, done all that. You know, now I have 5, 6, 7 hours to just say yes, be with family, do whatever. And maybe you're working. And if you're working, that's not really what I'm talking about. I'm kind of trying to like touch all sides of this, but I really am like talking about the break. So then you wouldn't be working. And if you are working, I guess you just stay on your routine. But anyways, if you're not working, I do still strongly suggest to get the things done in the morning that you need to get done. This has worked for me so much on vacation and has made me like fall in love with vacation in such a new way, because whenever we go on vacations, I get up, you know, I still read my Bible, I go on my run, and I get my work stuff done early in the morning. And yeah, I sacrifice maybe a sleep in or a whatever. And there are those days on vacation where I do sleep in. Like if I do feel like I need to rest and relax, then I do. I'm not going to like be a buzzkill and a drill sergeant and just be like, no, you're on vacation. But I will say, I always feel better whenever I get the things done that I need to get done in the morning or that I want to get done, as opposed to like, oh, I'll save my run for the middle of the day because, you know, it's the holidays and we don't have a plan or we don't have whatever. And then it's time for you to go on your run and the whole family's like playing a game. And it's like, oh, I wanted to play that game, but I need to go on my run. You know, it's there's a level of sacrifice involved, I guess, but it's more so just like prioritizing things and structuring your time well that I feel like has served me well for the holidays. And I do think that just taking time for yourself in the morning to just like realize that you exist and be your own human being really does just help you be able to give more energy to others and pour out to others more. So there's just something sweet and special about having alone time, especially in the morning. And that's that. All right, I have a couple more. Actually, I literally have two more. Okay. Try to step into the uncomfortable. Push yourself to do new things. The holidays were somewhat uncomfortable for me growing up, and still sometimes a little bit uncomfortable, just because I feel like I'm always meeting someone new. And some, I love meeting new people, but I also become very aware of like myself when I'm meeting someone new, because I just really put a lot of pressure on myself to make a good first impression. And so, you know, and like ask more about them than like I just want to know more about them than what I'm sharing. And so I just tend to like overthink that cycle of like, am I asking the right questions? So that's kind of like my thing. And the more that I did that, the easier that it got and the more I settled into it, as to where now it's like, I'm just excited to meet someone new and I don't have those thoughts, or they're not as loud, or I know how to control them. But I wouldn't have gotten to that place if I didn't continuously step into that uncomfortable feeling. So my encouragement to you is, what is still uncomfortable to you about the holidays? Maybe nothing is. Maybe this is applies to a different point in your life, but is there something in the holidays that's uncomfortable to you? And if so, is there a way that you can step into it? And then my secondary question is, or I guess my third question, I don't know, I'm losing track. But the other question is, have you asked the Lord how to navigate that? Because I think it's easy, especially for me, my tendency is just make a plan and do it. And God, please bless this. But really, we should be starting with God and saying, hey, where do you want me to go from here? What do you want me to do here? You know, I'm feeling like maybe I should do this. Like, you know, stop me if not. Is this what I should do? Really just talk to him, ask him. And maybe you are blessed enough to hear audible word answers, and that is incredible. For the majority, it'll come in other ways. It'll come in peace. It'll come in maybe a sign. Maybe you'll get a sign. Maybe you pray, you know, my most recent, like very, very specific prayer was like, hey, Lord, I'm going to do this because I'm feeling like you want me to do it. So if you don't want me to do it, stop me. And he never stopped me. He actually did the opposite, quite the opposite, and opened doors for me in that direction. So it will become obvious. I pray a lot of like, Lord, please make this so clear and so obvious. And he does. Like, he just does. And there have been times where I prayed prayers and I don't like necessarily receive for the answer in the way that I how do I word this? Like, oh Lord, please make it, this is just an example, but make it rain tomorrow if you want me to talk to my mom about that thing that I've been scared to talk to her about. And then like, it doesn't rain, but my soul still feels like I should talk to her. I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, we didn't make it rain. So like, if my soul feels it, that's gotta mean like, maybe the Lord is just answering it in a different way. And that's just an example. I feel like I'm just trying to word it in a way that like, isn't making sense. I hope this makes sense. All that to be said, just step into the uncomfortable and see where the Lord wants you to go in that. All right, my last one, because I feel like I'm jumping all over the place. Set checkpoints in the day. I love this because you don't have to like, I mean, the grand theme of this whole thing is just like, find structure if you feel out of control during the holidays, or if you struggle with the holiday structure, can help us just kind of recenter, refocus, have things to work for, you know, see the bigger picture. And checkpoints and like little set things throughout the day helps astronomically. You know, in the morning, I have my coffee, my Bible time. Great. Check. Midday, I'm gonna go on a 20-minute walk. Anyone who wants to join, come on. Or I'm gonna go by myself, but I'm going on my 20-minute walk. Check. That's like, what, a mile? End of the day, I'm going to read 10 pages of my book before I go to bed. Check. And those things, although you're not directly like scheduling your entire day, because you don't want to do that, especially when you're with family, you want to be able to enjoy and be and do and go with the flow. But having those things can help keep you calm, centered, grounded, focused, and still motivated. I sometimes get kind of sad during the holidays. Something about the weather, something in the air. Having little checkpoints to accomplish makes me feel accomplished and keeps me going and gives me energy. And so if that's what you need, this is your sign. Do it. Whether it's brushing your teeth in the morning or running 10 miles. No goal is too big, no goal is too small. It's a goal. So with that being said, I've blabbed on a lot. I've kind of was all over the place, but I pray that the Lord makes it evident what you were supposed to hear from this podcast. And if there is anything that I worded in a weird way or didn't make sense, that you can just throw it out the window. But that's the beauty of this podcast, you know? It's the beauty of life. It's not always perfect. It's not always pretty. But it's real. And it's okay. I'm done. Hey, love you guys. Happy holidays. You're going to kill it this Christmas. It's going to be amazing. Remember the reason for the season. Jesus, we love him. He's my best friend. Okay, I'm going crazy. I love you guys. Bye.